You're listening to The End, understanding the signs of the times. Are we living in the end times? Today, many of us wonder, how can we know, where are the signs, and what should we do? In this series, we will study the Bible and the words of Jesus, and consider them with historical facts and current events. A greater insight and understanding will help you decide for yourself if we are indeed living in the end. Let's join Pastor Bill Young in Part 4, The Antichrist.
Hey, Rock Church. You know, we are on Part 4 of a six-part series on the end times. Week 1, kind of did an overview, introduction, gave you some definitions. Week 2, we talked about the nation of Israel, which is very cool. And then last week, Josh talked about the rapture. And tonight, we're going to talk about the Antichrist. Next week, we're going to talk about Armageddon, the final war. And we'll touch on that just a little bit, but give you a heads up, just a little bit. Tonight's going to be somewhat academic. Is that okay if we just, I have a lot of stuff. If you pull out your notes, you'll just kind of see I had to pack things in. And my goal was there's a lot written on the Antichrist, and I just want to make sure you have that in hand. So this will be kind of a study tool for you. Take it back. We're not going to be able to go over every verse. I just want to warn you ahead of time so I don't lose you in the middle, okay? I might stop and make sure you're looking at me, okay, not sleeping, all right? We're going to talk about the Antichrist. Now, the Bible clearly speaks of the Antichrist. We're going to see the verses. It talks about the spirit of the Antichrist, but it also talks about a person, doesn't it? We believe that, right? There is a person called the Antichrist. It's not just some fictional character that we can make fun of on Saturday Night Live or cheesy Christian movies or horror flicks. And we just saying Antichrist, you know, we have different thoughts. We can laugh at it. We kind of think that's kind of hokey, that we're just trying to scare people. But truly, the Bible, there's over 100 references to this person called the Antichrist in the Bible. So we know he's real. We know he's powerful. We know it's inevitable that he's going to show up on the scene. We know it's true. Now, just like Nick was saying, do we need to be scared? Well, if you're a Christian, you have no need to fear or be in any way scared. Now, if you're not a believer, then, you know, you probably need to think about what I'm going to talk about here. You don't want to meet this guy, all right? Truly, the whole point, I think, of focusing on something like the Antichrist is to realize, really, where do we need to focus? As Christians, we need to focus on Christ, isn't that right? I mean, we need to be aware of the Antichrist, but we need to trust in Jesus Christ. As Christians, that's true. But if you're going to study eschatology, which is the study of end things, end times, this is a predominant part of eschatology, this guy called the Antichrist. So I'm going to help us tonight. My goal is to help us understand, kind of recognize the Antichrist, and just give you a quick, brief, splash overview of who this guy is, how we can find out who he is, all right? So another reason we need to think about this is Jesus told us to look for it, to be aware that this guy is coming. He said, "For false Christs will appear. See, I have told you ahead of time." Don't you hate it when people say that? Told you so? Don't you just hate that? Your parents say, "Don't date that clod." And later they say what? "I told you so." Don't invest in that. I'm warning you, you're going to be sorry. And later they say, "I told you so." Don't buy that car. "Oh, I told you so." We don't want to have to say or hear from Jesus, "I told you so." Because he says, "I tell you ahead of time about what's going to happen in the end." And one of the things that's clearly taught on is this idea of an Antichrist. So again, we need to beware of the Antichrist, but we need to keep our eyes and our trust and our hope in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, it says this, Hebrews 12 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." Again, not on the Antichrist, but on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So tonight, here's what I want to try to cover. The Antichrist, is he alive today? Yes. He is, really? You guys, that's awesome. You know that. Well, maybe we'll talk later and see if I hit it too. I'm going to suggest some names here, okay? And are they in the room here? I'm just curious. No, okay. How can we know who he is? We'll talk about that. What clues are there to his identity? When will he make his move to be the controller of global economics and global politics? Because he will be the leader of both those things. And how should we respond, especially as Christians and unbelievers? If you don't know Christ tonight, then the very last verses I share are going to be a reminder again of what you need to do. Because it ties right into the end times. And what you need to do as an unbeliever, you need to come to Christ. You need to come to him tonight. Because you do have something to fear. And it's not the Antichrist. It's being separate from God forever. That's what you really need to fear. Fear him who can not only kill the body, but cast your soul into hell. Now, as Christians, we don't need to fear that. We do not need to fear that. But we're going to take a look at the Antichrist. So what I want to look at, six clues that will help us recognize the Antichrist, okay? Lots of information. You got to hang with me. And I think it'll be good. Ready? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, even as I was reminded the last two nights in a row, even after I taught at GCLI at the leadership conference about how I used to get woken up at 3 a.m. And that hasn't happened for a long time, but the last two nights, 3:01 and 3:02, just boom, woke up, look right at the clock. And I don't know why that happens, but it does make me wonder sometimes if I'm just getting pestered, and it's irritating. And I thank you, God, that you're going to squash Satan someday. You're going to cast him to the abyss and all of his, even the Antichrist and all that's related to him. We thank you, God, that you're powerful, that you're the King of Kings, that Satan doesn't do anything without having you approve it. He's got to come to you to get approval. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And we worship you tonight. Lord, it seems obvious that we need to understand something about this Antichrist. We need to understand it to be able to help others, to be able to even understand the Bible because it talks so much about it. So give us grace tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Six clues. The first one is this. It's called the spirit of the Antichrist. And I believe it's in the world today already, the spirit of Antichrist. And when you say Antichrist, what does that mean? Well, anti in this situation could mean several things. Denying Christ, in place of or replacing Christ, or against Christ. Now that spirit, I believe, is in the world today. I think it's been in the world ever since the world began, way back in the garden. This being against Christ or denying Christ or in the place of Christ, replacing Jesus with things, with stuff, with the creation. Doesn't that happen all the time? We worship the creation rather than the Creator who's forever praised. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. And clearly, it's already here. It says this, 1 John 4:3. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which we have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. This was written 2,000 years ago. So we know for sure 2,000 years ago, the spirit of the Antichrist was in the world, according to John. Actually, the three places that we see the word Antichrist, we're going to look at all those verses right here. Here's another place, all written by John. 1 John 2 says, "Dear children, this is the last hour." Again, written 2,000 years ago. "This is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming," his readers were aware of that, weren't they? This was something they talked about. "You're aware that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists," those who deny Christ or against Christ, "have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son." And also in 2 John 7, "Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist." So you understand there's a spirit of Antichrist that's already in the world. We see it. You may know people that have that spirit. They're just against Christ. They've replaced Christ with other things. It could be the ecology. You know, they've replaced Christ, worship of Christ, with worship of things. That spirit is in the world. I think we understand that. But what we're going to focus on tonight is that there is a person that is the Antichrist that is coming. I thought this was fascinating. As I was studying this and reading things about this, you know, in the past, you're going to see, I'm going to show you a bunch of pictures of people that have been speculated to be the Antichrist. You know, they're coming to your mind right now. I know they are. For years, I mean, just think of Hitler, for one. People thought, oh, he's the Antichrist. And imagine living at that time. Here's a guy that's killing millions of Jews, God's chosen people. And he has all these attributes. And you know what? I think it's kind of interesting that, does Satan know the day or the hour that Jesus is coming back? Nobody does except the Father. Isn't that what we know? So Satan doesn't know. So it is kind of interesting to think that Satan, he doesn't know when the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. Because that's just, right? Everything starts happening. He doesn't even know. So I think he gets different people positioned so that if God starts this ball rolling, he can indwell that person and run with it. I mean, think about it. It's kind of interesting. He doesn't know the timetable. So he gets guys like Hitler. Throughout history, there's been guys that people go, I think he's the Antichrist. And you know what? If it had been God's timetable, that might have been the one that God finally indwelled and said, I'm going to accomplish my purposes through him. It's kind of interesting to think about. So there is a real Antichrist coming. And what I want to do is give you 10. I have a ton of bullet points, so forgive me. I'm just going to plow through a lot of these. I won't read all the verses. 10 names that we're going to look at the titles of Antichrist. Again, to help us understand the character, to discern, to recognize the Antichrist. He's given a bunch of names in the Bible. Here's 10 of them. First name is the Beast. The Antichrist is known as the Beast. We read that in Revelation 13. It says, and the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns, and each head had a blasphemous name. And the beast looked like a leopard. So there's a lot of symbology there. And again, in a six-week series, in order to understand Revelation, you have to understand Daniel, you have to understand Ezekiel, you need to understand a bunch of the Old Testament symbology. We don't have time to do that. But who can tell me the symbology of the horn? What is typically the horn? What's the symbol of the horn in the Bible, Old Testament? What does it symbolize? Power, leadership, authority. Oftentimes, the word horn is used as authority. His horn was broken, meaning his authority or his kingship was broken. And you see that a lot. The Antichrist is a man of authority, and he's called the Beast. That's the first name. Another name, the man of lawlessness. He will not be a man that obeys the law. He will be a law unto himself. He will be lawless. Now, for the first part of his reign, he will appear to keep the law, but eventually he's going to make his own laws. And we ain't going to like them. The world will not like them. He's called the lawless one again. I'm going to go back because I can. 2 Thessalonians, check this out. Let me read this verse. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is revealed. Get this, the man doomed for destruction. I just have noticed, and I kind of like to point this out, is that often when God talks about the Antichrist in the Bible, he also just kind of throws in, he's doomed. He's done. There's almost always says something about his demise. So this great leader, God just says, you know what? Yeah, he's going to be a great leader, but I'm going to squash him. I just want to remind you about that. Okay, yeah, he's a great leader. He's done. Because it happens again here. The lawless one, let me read this. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. I mean, it's just like almost every verse. Yeah, he's this great world leader, but Jesus is going to squash him. And I love it because that's absolutely true. As Christians, we do have hope. There is no power greater than Jesus, not even the Antichrist, the peak of Satan's power. I think we should catch that. The abomination, that's what he's called. So when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Again, I told you so. I told you ahead of time. When you see this great, powerful leader stand in a temple that's not yet built in Jerusalem, stand in the Holy of Holies, which is not yet there, and put up a statue of himself and claim himself to be God, let the reader beware. We have the Antichrist. All right? Is that clear? He's an abomination. That's an abomination. That's horrible. For any Jew to think of somebody besides God entering the Holy of Holies in the temple and claiming to be God, what an abomination. They can't think anything worse. But that's actually going to happen. Another name, the little horn. I love this. God just calls him a little horn. Okay, the horn means authority, but God says, you're just a little horn. Compared to me, you're nothing. And I love it. It's almost like God is just dissing the devil. You little horn. You know, I think, I love that. It's kind of like a, I envision, this is my vision. It's like Satan is a little bully in kindergarten, okay? Now, he's a little bit bigger than the other kids. He's kind of, you know, he's chunky and he's big and he picks on all the other kindergarten kids. But one day, the new principal, who used to be an NFL linebacker, walks into the room. A new sheriff is in town, and that's God. And God says, "You little runt." It's like God says, "You little horn. You're nothing to me." I don't know. I think weird. Maybe God doesn't think that. I think it's funny. Another name for the Antichrist is the insolent king. He's insolent. That just describes him. You're just insolent. You think you're so tough. The ruler who is to come, the ruler who is to come, it says this about him, and again, I love this. After 62 sevens, again, all this symbology, which makes sense, you can study it out. After 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. That's Jesus. That's him being crucified. He's the anointed one. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. So he's a ruler who is to come. He's also a contemptible person. He will be succeeded by a contemptible person who has not been given the honor of royalty. He will invade the kingdom, that's Israel, when his people feel secure, because the Antichrist is going to start have peace, bring peace to the Middle East. Who would think that would be pretty cool if there's peace in the Middle East? I think every president that has ever sat has hope for peace and hope that they're the ones that could broker it. I mean, just this last week, our vice president was there trying to broker peace. And instead, Israel announced they're going to build all these new houses, which just infuriated Hillary Clinton today, rebuked Benjamin Netanyahu, of a leader in Israel, rebuked him, if you can believe that, because of their desire to build houses, and did that while Vice President Biden was there. She was a little miffed off. Again, God forbid the day that this country breaks relations with Israel. And if you need to see the video from 2 weeks ago. All right, contemptible person. A strong-willed king. Man, he's going to be a strong-willed king. He's going to do what he wants. Look what it says here in Daniel. The king, that's the Antichrist, will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify God? No, himself. He'll magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things. Things against the God of gods, against our God, the God of the Bible. He'll be successful until the time of wrath is completed, for what has been determined must take place. So God has got it all orchestrated. There's coming a point where God's wrath, God's going to step in and put an end to it. Just like that. It will happen. Even though he's a strong-willed king, God will put an end to it. And finally, again, we read that he's called the Antichrist. So 10 names that help us understand his character. All right? Is that helpful? Take a deep breath. I got a bunch of these bullet points, okay? Okay, we're going to continue on. So the first two clues, the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. The titles of the Antichrist kind of point to a person. And that's his, some of the character qualities that we see there. The nationality, this is debatable, and this is definitely something that people argue about, and that's fine. The nationality of the Antichrist, do we know that? Well, some people say there's some clues. Oftentimes, it's the debate is he Jewish or is he Gentile? And I kind of fall in the camp with a lot of the books that I read would say that he's probably a Gentile. Now, here's just a few quick reasons why. If we're looking for the Antichrist, trying to recognize him, that he probably won't be from Jewish descent. He'll be a Gentile, which is a non-Jew. We read in Daniel a lot of things that he'll most likely be heading a European Union. He'll be the head of a European Union. So keep your eyes on the cool leaders coming out of Europe. He'll lead people to destroy the temple, which, you know, probably wouldn't be a Jew. Most likely wouldn't be a Jew to do that. His covenant with Israel promises Gentile protection. In other words, he's going to gather Gentiles to protect Israel. Again, which would indicate that maybe he's a Gentile leader to be able to do that. And finally, his rule is part of the times of the Gentiles. We're in the times of the Gentiles right now. That's the time, it says in Luke, where the Gentiles trample the Temple Mount. And I've been guilty of that. As a Gentile, I have been on Temple Mount, and I've trampled, I guess. I've fulfilled this verse right here. I've trampled, as a Gentile, the Temple Mount. There's going to be an end to that. Okay. So anyway, most likely a Gentile with a European background. That would be a consensus of most conservative eschatology people. Okay. B, he is associated with a European confederation, most likely a Roman confederation. And we get that from a dream. And don't get all confused or caught up in this. You can study it out. A lot of you probably have. A dream that who had a dream here? Nebuchadnezzar, way back. He was the ruler of the world at that time. There was a godly man named Daniel. We can read about him in the book of Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar had this wild dream about this statue that was made of different kind of metal. And then his toes down here were made of partly of iron and partly of clay. And he was troubled. And he brought in Daniel to interpret this dream. And Daniel correctly interpreted it. And it was repeated with different kinds of dreams with animals in Daniel chapter 7, a similar dream that described these different periods of time that were going to come. At the time, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, "You are the head, O king. This is your Babylonian empire right here." And then this dream was confirming what was going to happen in the future kingdoms. And we've established that most likely these are the kingdoms that took place after this dream. And what interests us is down here, because this is where we would be, this interesting, these feet that are partly clay and partly iron. They're brittle, but they're hard inside, and there's a lot of speculation about what that is. Could that be a confederation? When the European common market was just being developed, there's lots of speculation. Will they have 10 nations? Will they have 10 confederates in this confederation? And people were thinking, oh my goodness, if they do, this is the end times. And it never got to 10. It was close, but then some people pulled out. Anyway, it's still probably going to come from Europe. And you can see that the end times, that the Antichrist will be leading or ruling in this particular time period. That's kind of the point, okay? In Daniel chapter 7, he had another kind of weird dream. Daniel actually had this vision. This wasn't Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel himself. God spoke to him about the future. And really what we think he was dreaming about was that last, most important, the bottom, the feet with the 10 toes, that last time period, which we believe we're in right now. And he had a dream about this wild-looking animal. And it says this. Let me read it. Daniel 7, 7 through 8. "After that, in my vision," says Daniel, "I looked, and there before me was the fourth beast," that's the fourth kingdom, "terrifying and frightening and very powerful." He's describing the rule of the Antichrist. "It had a large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns." Again, what do horns represent? Authority, power, leadership. Probably 10 nations or 10 confederates, powers, the top 10 powers that were ruling the world in the fourth kingdom, the kingdom that we live in or will live in today. This is our time period. That's what we believe. Revelation refers to these 10 horns. And again, the Antichrist was called what kind of horn? A little horn. And actually, that little horn ends up growing and taking over all the other horns. There's 10 horns in this dream, 10 authorities. And Satan or the Antichrist ends up taking over all of them. In Revelation 17, it says, "This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings." Now, again, you know, I don't claim to understand all this. I have thoughts on this, and you could study it out. But the idea that the Antichrist comes from Rome comes from this verse here, okay? There's books written on this passage. I mean, just on this passage, there's books written to kind of prove that the Antichrist is going to come from Rome. Why? Because this reference to seven hills is pretty common among Roman writers as talking about Rome. And here's a quote from a Bible reference, a commentary. It says, "It is perhaps significant that Rome began as a network of seven hill settlements on the left bank of the Tiber. Her designation as a city on seven hills is commonplace among Roman writers." So again, this idea that Antichrist will probably be Gentile, coming from Europe, and somehow tied into a confederation of leaders or nations that are leading the world coming out of Rome. There's a tie to Rome. Maybe it's the old Rome. Maybe it's a new something that we haven't seen yet coming out of Rome. Keep your eyes on Rome, okay? I think there's a good thing to believe that that's where the Antichrist is going to come from. So that is the third clue that'll help us recognize the Antichrist. Another big breath, because I think we have a bunch of things to cover here. Okay. The genius and power of the Antichrist. Without question, this ruler to come, this evil incarnate, will be genius. Without question. He'll be, you know, if not completely possessed by Satan, who, by the way, is pretty smart. He is pretty smart. He's been around a long time. He's not ultimately smart, and he will get squashed, as we've already talked about. But he's going to empower this guy. He's going to help this guy be a genius, and he'll be the most astounding leader that the world has ever seen, without doubt. So you can look for that as well. Again, he might be on the scene already, and he's not the most astounding leader, but when things start happening and Satan starts being involved with this person's life, he will become, he'll rise like a star as the most astounding. We'll just drop our jaws at how amazing this guy's able to pull people together. He's able to bring peace to Israel, to the Middle East, and we'll just beg him to lead us. I mean, the world will beg this guy to lead. He'll be amazing. He'll be a genius intellectually. He'll be an oratorical genius. He'll be able to speak and just move us to tears. He will. Politically, commercially, militarily, he'll be a genius in every way. The world has never seen anybody like this, according to the Bible. Again, all these verses talk about his genius, administrative, religious, which is kind of insidious because he's going to claim to have all this. And that's why, by the way, that's why our phrase, if you see it on the building, is interested in God but not religion. Because you can be very religious but have nothing to do with God. You can be very religious and be the Antichrist. And he will be. The Antichrist will be the most religious person we've ever met. But religion doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus Christ gets us to heaven. We're interested in connecting you with God, by the way. I don't care if you're connected with the rock. We'd love to have you here, but we want to connect you with God so you and God can go to heaven. He's going to be there. Are you going to be there? That's our goal, is to help you go to heaven, all right? So he's going to be an amazing leader. We know that. Some people believe that he will be Satan incarnate, which means Satan will live inside of him. So here's some just comparisons and contrasts that you go, wow, that could be. Satan could actually live in this guy, because let's just compare Jesus with the Antichrist. Jesus is known as what? The, say it out loud with me, the. The Antichrist is known as the father of what? The father of? So we compare and contrast. Jesus is known as the Holy One. Antichrist is the lawless one. Jesus was a man of sorrows, it says. Isn't that interesting? He was a man of sorrows. The Antichrist is a man of sin. That's what he's known as. Jesus is the Son of God. The Antichrist will be the son of Satan. Jesus is mystery of godliness, where the Antichrist is a mystery of iniquities. Again, these are what the Bible calls these two. Jesus is what? The good shepherd. And the Antichrist is known as the worthless shepherd. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is known to be exalted on high. The Antichrist will be cast down to hell. We know his end, and we know his doom. We can read the end of the book. Jesus humbled himself. The Antichrist will go into the temple and what? Exalt himself. Isn't that interesting that God humbles himself? The Antichrist will exalt himself. Listen, it says in 1 Peter that God will exalt the humble person, but he'll put down the proud. Listen, if you don't want to be proud before God. We have no reason to be proud before God. We need to humble ourselves like Jesus did. We need to do what he did and not be proud. The spirit of pride comes from the devil. Jesus was despised. He was. He was despised. Listen, the Antichrist is going to be admired. People are going to cheer him. The crowds call for Jesus to be crucified. They're going to call for the Antichrist to be exalted, be our leader. Jesus cleansed the temple. The Antichrist will defile the temple. Jesus was slain for his people. Antichrist will slay his people. He'll kill countless tens of thousands. Jesus is the Lamb of God. The Antichrist is known as the beast. So it's kind of an interesting comparing the two. Could it be that the Antichrist is indwelled by Satan? I think it's a good possibility. All right, again, take a breath. There's a big yawn over here, so I want to make sure. Stand up for a second. Just everybody stand right up. It's okay. We're in church. You can do that. Stand up. Stretch. I don't want you to fall asleep. You guys falling asleep? I heard a big yawn over here. I just want to make sure. It's all right. I understand. I understand. You can sit back down. Sit back down. Okay, here we go. Another list. The profile of the Antichrist, kind of his MO. The Bible talks about it. Again, I don't think we'll read a lot of these verses, but just follow along here. It's just interesting to me. And again, you can study this out. 10 keys that describe his behavior. Number one, he will rise to power in the last days. So, again, when you see a powerful leader on the rise, a rising star, I mean, world leader, then you know that this could be the guy. Doesn't mean he is, but we know that the Antichrist for sure will rise to power in the last days. He'll rule the world. Now, I didn't say rule a country, rule a nationality. He will rule the world. Can you imagine that? You know what? I think our world becomes more and more poised every day to want somebody like this, to want somebody to lead our whole world. I mean, you know, 200 years ago, it would have been hard for one person to rule our whole world. I think more and more with our technology, I think it's possible. I think it's probable. And I think our world yearns for that. I think we're heading that way. I think we are. So this world is getting really small in one sense. His headquarters will most likely be in Rome, as we've already talked about, on the Seven Hills. He will be intelligent and persuasive. He rules by international consent. So to start with, he's not going to come out as an individual leader saying, I am going to be in control of all this. He'll kind of say, you know, I don't want to lead you guys. And no, please lead us. No, I don't, you know, I don't want to do that. Oh, please. Okay. And he will lead by international consent. Everyone will want him to lead. We'll all raise our hands and say, lead us. But he rules by deception. He rules by deception. He controls a global economy. And we'll talk about this in just a little bit. He will make peace with Israel. And that hasn't been done in a long, long time. So this guy is going to, when this, whoever claims to have made and actually causes peace to happen in Israel, I think Biden was saying he did something last week, but he didn't do anything. But when somebody truly brings peace to Israel, you go, aha, that's interesting. I'm going to watch that guy. But then he'll break the treaty with Israel. That'll be about halfway through the seven-year tribulation period. He'll break the treaty with Israel and invade Israel. Again, keep your eye on Israel, right? Keep your eye on Israel. And finally, he'll claim to be God. That's a pretty big clue right there. Okay, when a world leader stands up and says, I am God, then you go, oh, that's the guy. I think he's the one. And Jesus won't have to say, I told you so. If you go, I get it, God. I got that one. You don't want to hear Jesus say, I told you so, all right? So those are 10 keys, all right? So, number six, the status of the Antichrist. Is he in the world today? Well, let's just talk about that for a second. The spirit of the Antichrist, we know, is in the world. This, the spirit behind war, suffering, persecution, that's been in the world a long time. I think that's the spirit of the Antichrist behind all of that. The deal is that many have tried to guess his identity. Many have tried to guess that. Over the years, if you just go online and start doing research, it's everywhere. All these guys, every one of them has probably 20 websites dedicated to proving that they are the Antichrist individually in their time. And they have biblical reasons. They have, you know, logical things in their minds that Bush or Gorbachev or Napoleon or Obama, Clinton, you know, JFK. JFKs are fascinating if you read those. I mean, my goodness, those websites that talk about him being the Antichrist. I'll just be honest, people have picked on the Catholics all for a lot of years and have claimed that it's going to, that in Rome, the Catholics are, Catholic is the woman, the beast. A lot of websites talk about that. And JFK was what? Catholic. So there's a lot of websites that say he was the Antichrist. Hitler, I mean, my goodness, he fit, you know, the profile, that leadership, dynamic, almost a world leader. He wanted world leadership. I wonder if Satan was watching him going, man, if it's time, this is the guy. But, you know, it didn't happen. So many have tried to guess. Many have used the number 666. You're familiar with that. You just kind of get shivers when you hear 666. And if your bill comes up to $6.66, you add something onto it so it doesn't. Because you're freaked out. You don't know what it means, but you don't like it, okay? Okay, so let's talk about it, all right? Let's talk about what's the significance of 666. Now, let me read the verses where we get this from. Revelation 13 says this, the Antichrist, who we're talking about, also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, you don't think there's about 100,000 books written on that phrase right there? What does that mean? Some people are pretty confident they know what it means. Verse 18, this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is what? 666. What is his number? 666. Okay, guys, that means you guys talk with me. What is his number? 666. You're even afraid to say it. You're all, oh, I don't want to say it. Oh, I could get infested with demons or something if I say 666. It's just a number, okay? But it's interesting. It's a curious number. It's the number of the beast. It's man's number. What would we say is God's number, typically? What would Christians say? Seven is God's number. And a trinity of sevens would be like a perfect number. Man's number is typically known as six. The trinity, which would be a false Christ, anti-Christ, replacement of Christ. The number, man's number, a trinity of sixes. That's the beast number. Does that mean everyone's going to have 666 stamped on their forehead? I don't know. There's lots of speculation about what this means. I mean, is it barcodes? When barcodes first came out, by the way, barcodes haven't always been around. They haven't. They're new in my lifetime. Barcodes. Okay, what about the little, what do they call these things? These little injection things? An ID that my dog had one. Yeah, like a microchip injected. They put these through needles and they'll inject animals. How many have dogs or cats that have these? Yeah, pretty much most animals now will have those. They can make these things so cheap. These IDs are just a microchip that, you know, it's just basically a tag number that connects up with a computer. It's just a relational database thing. So once it connects that number, it can have all this data stored, not necessarily in this chip, but in the database. Anyway, these things are so cheap anymore. There are some grocery stores that are embedding these in every piece, every item, every food item in their stores. I've seen it on the news. I've seen it on the web. You can actually, you go to those stores, you fill your cart with all these, with milk and with bread and with all this stuff. They have these chips in the label embedded, kind of like, you know, in our my passport has a chip embedded in my passport. If you get a passport, it'll have a chip in it, microchip. But you just take your whole cart and you run it underneath this sensor. You run the cart underneath and beep, it gives your total. You don't have to scan anything. It beeps it all at once. Just like you do that at the library now, right? The Sandy Library, same thing. There's microchips in every book. You take your stack of books, you set it on the reader, and beep, it checks them all in at once. It's pretty cool technology. Is everybody going to have one of these under their hand and their forehead? And there's people in here that are in your heart. You want to go, yeah, that's it. Maybe it is. I don't know. All I know is that this technology was not available 200 years ago. It is today. So you won't be able to eat or buy anything without the mark of the beast, whatever that is, on your right hand or forehead. Okay, well, I thought about that before because I think of people like Nick Vujicic. He doesn't have a right hand, but everybody's got a forehead, right? Everybody I know has a forehead, okay? So I don't know. But we can have some fun with it, and people, you know, God bless them. There's people that are really serious about this, and again, you go to the websites, and it's just kind of, it's almost comical because we can start taking this number 666 and you know, making way too big a deal out of it. So I just thought I would share with you some other significant numbers. 666 obviously is significant, the number of the beast, right? Did you know that 665 was the number of the beast's older brother? Yeah, it is. 999, the number of the Australian beast. Think about it. Okay. Here's the square root of the beast. Roman numeral of the beast. Truly is. Social Security number of the beast. Is that anybody a Social Security number? I bet you're wigging out right now. I don't think it probably is. Binary number of the beast. License plate of the beast. Okay. But seriously now, people have taken this number and have gone, you know, they have come up with some really interesting things. Was Hitler the Antichrist? Well, 666, can we tie that into him somehow? Well, using numerology, we can Go find some pretty interesting things. If you take Hitler's name and use numerology where they assign A, the value 100, B, 101, C, 102, so on and so on. You take Hitler, take his name, insert the values for those letters. What do you think you come up with? 666, ooh. Everybody go, ooh. Obviously, he's the Antichrist. Okay, so I found this. Al Gore, is he the Antichrist? Okay, some of you think he might be. According to mathematics writer Eli Eshoff, Al Gore is the Antichrist because his name in ASCII code translates to the following. There it is. It adds up to 666. And he's convinced. He has a little quote there that Al Gore is the Antichrist because of this number, 666. Well, we can have some other fun with it. Let's try this. Here's another guess. How about if we take the phrase cute purple dinosaur, okay? Again, we change all the U's to V's, which is proper Latin. Then we remove all the Roman numerals, which would be, if you're going to do it, you can do whatever you want. So we remove that. We convert to Arabic, which makes sense to everybody here, I'm sure, is what you would do. And we add those up, and guess what? 666. So obviously, Barney is satanic. It's perfectly clear. So, you know, I go, I think we just need to be careful, pushing 666 too much. Here's where we need to go. We just need to go to the Bible, all right? Because the Bible reveals things about the Antichrist that we can actually know, things we've talked about. But here's 12 verses, and this is the quintessential passage I just want to leave us with here. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about it here. He says this, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposedly to come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't get all worked up if somebody says, no, he's already come. Somebody told me last week that Hitler was the Antichrist. I said, well, where was the abomination of desolation that was to take place in the temple? When did that happen? Well, he didn't have an answer, okay? He hasn't come yet. Verse 3, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. So that's got to happen, okay? We know that's got to happen. But he says he's the man doomed to destruction. Again, he's going to lose. Verse 4. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember? In other words, I don't want to have to say I told you so. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. They're all counterfeit. And in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. Listen carefully. They perish because they refused to love the truth and to be saved. Why do people perish? What's more important than recognizing the Antichrist? It's trusting in Jesus and believing the truth of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. People that reject the truth, you'll go to hell forever. And that's more important than even recognizing the Antichrist. Verse 11. For this reason, God sends them, and this is a scary verse, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. Those who have rejected the truth, God says, you had a chance, now there'll be a lie that you're going to believe, a powerful delusion. And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. In John it says that he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. So I want to ask you tonight, as we're just finishing up here, do you believe the truth? Yes. Have you trusted in Christ? And some of you have not. Some of you are not. And you are in danger of perishing and being condemned forever. You see, in this life, while you still have breath, you still have hope. If you don't embrace Christ, if you're not saved from your sins and you die physically, then you will die eternally. If you receive Christ to have him forgive you of all your sins, by the way, he's dying to do that. He wants to do that tonight. He wants to save you from your sins. If you allow him to save you from your sins, then you will be with him forever and ever. And you will have hope. You will have hope. Let me just summarize with these three quick points. Number one, don't be anxious. Let's not be anxious. We need to be aware of the Antichrist, but we need to put our hope in who? Jesus Christ. Beware of the Antichrist. Put our hope and our faith and keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. Two, watch for Jesus, not the Antichrist, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wins, doesn't he? In the end, Jesus wins. So let's keep our eyes on him. And finally, become a Christian. Be saved from your sins. Let's not kid around here. We're not playing games. I talked to a girl last night in Provo, and I just asked her, do you know for sure if you die, you go to heaven? And she kind of smiles, well, I'm not really sure. And people around me want to talk, and I just said, you know, I need to talk to this girl right here because I'm concerned about your soul. You're not confident yet. You need to know that Jesus loves you. It's not about the rock. It's about you and Jesus. I want you to go to heaven. And she got real somber, and I shared the gospel with her. And tonight, there's some of you that don't know for sure if you die tonight, you go to heaven. You need to make sure. Let's bow our heads, and we can pray right now. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, God, that we have hope in you. Yeah, there's going to be an Antichrist, and yeah, things are going to get tough. But Lord, thank you that you're going to squash him, and that those who have been saved, who have embraced truth, will be in heaven with you forever and ever and ever. Lord, my heart goes out to those that don't know you yet, that they do have something to be afraid of. It's not just the pain and suffering that the Antichrist is going to bring on this world. Lord, you said don't fear him who can kill your body, but fear him who can cast your soul into hell. I pray for those that don't know. If you're sitting here tonight and you don't know, you need to make a decision. Do not reject the truth. There's coming a time where you're not going to be able to believe the truth because of a powerful delusion. You need to receive it. Don't say, I'll do it later. Do it tonight. You need to say, Jesus, I've sinned against you. I deserve to go to hell. You say this in your heart to God right now. I deserve to go to hell because I've sinned against a holy God. But Lord, I want to ask you to come into my heart right now and forgive me of all the sins that I've committed. And I want to turn away from my sins and turn towards you and get my eyes on you. Lord, would you help me do that right now? I want to receive it the best way I know how. And I thank you for it. Thank you. You died for my sins and I can receive it. Even a child can do that. And if you have that heart, if that's your heart is beating right now saying, that's what I want, then you need to go back to the connections booth when we're done here with this last song and talk to them. They'll help you understand it better. For the rest of us, God, help us keep our eyes on you and put our hope in you, Jesus. This world may go to hell, but Lord, we're going to keep our eyes on you and we're going to take as many with us as we can. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
For more resources, visit us at experiencetherock.com.